Thank you, Al Ray. Al Ray singing that song this morning and reminded me of my friend Joe Reagan. Many of you who are his friends on Facebook, you saw this week that he arrived back in Ukraine, back in Dnipro, to continue telling the story of Jesus and his love to Ukrainians who are lost and need to hear about the grace of God. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read once again the passage of Scripture that we've been examining for the past few weeks, talking about being blessed in Christ. I told y'all last week that I'd be looking at two more of the ways I think this passage is passage tells us that we are blessed in Christ, but I've scaled back and I'm only going to do one this week because the one that we're looking at this week, we're talking about being acquired. We're talking about being bought. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19 that we were bought with a price. I don't know if you've ever had a phone call or you went to a place to buy something, whether it's a car or something else, and the salesperson, they give you all the wonderful attributes of what you are considering purchasing, correct? And sometimes nowadays, you have done a lot of your research before you even go, because you can go on the internet, go online, and you can do research on that product, on that thing, and you know a lot of the information already. Many of you are smiling, you know what I'm talking about, and you go to the place, and you go to purchase that item, and what do you really want to know in that situation? You want to know the cost, don't you? Bottom line, and I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience, but when they're explaining all the wonderful attributes, you have said, okay, that's great. What's the cost? And they keep on. Well, let me tell you about this. Well, that's great, but what's the cost? And they say, well, I forgot to mention this right here. They're building it up because they feel like they need to justify the price they are about to tell you. Now, I want to tell you this morning, when we're talking about being acquired, God knew the cost, didn't he? I mean, he knew what it would take to acquire us from our state of sin, and that would be the death of his son. And that's what we want to examine this morning, is that acquisition. And I believe we have three aspects of this acquisition this morning, one of which I mentioned earlier in that grace of God, but we'll get into that in just a moment. I want to read this passage of Scripture, and you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Christ Jesus for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. We have also received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. I want to focus in this morning on verse 7. If you're there in your passage of or in your copy of God's Word, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is that acquisition. And when I talk about that acquisition and being acquired, we have this sense in both those words, and we're going to look at that in just a moment when we look at forgiveness and we look at redemption. But I want to focus in, first of all, I want to kind of go backwards in this verse and look at that last phrase, because I think we find that first aspect of the acquisition, and that's the provision. We see there that it's according to the riches of the grace of God. That provision, that word plutos, means, as you see there on your screen, riches or wealth or abundance or plenitude. We know from God's word that God's grace is endless. It's a matchless grace. Romans 5, 20 and 21, if you want to flip over there, it talks about just how endless God's grace is. It says the law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has an endless storehouse of grace that he wants to lavish on every human being. In fact, even those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior, they experience God's grace every day, because it says in Scripture that he causes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, correct? So God's grace, even in the sense that a person who does not know Jesus Christ gets up every morning and has breath in their lungs, they are experiencing the grace of God. That is the grace of God that we get up every morning. So they experience God's grace in all sorts of ways. I guess that's what I'm saying this morning. But as a Christ follower, as one who has accepted the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, we as Christ followers, we experience God's grace on an even greater level, because we begin to understand what it took for God to acquire us, for this acquisition. Philip Paul Bliss says this in a hymn that he wrote. He says, "Have you on the Lord believed? Still there's more to follow. Of his grace have you received? Still there's more to follow. Oh, the grace the Father shows, there's still more to follow. Freely his grace bestows, still there's more to follow." Aren't you glad this morning that still there's more to follow? Aren't you glad this morning that even that moment that you said yes to God, that grace that saved you in that moment, that there was still more to follow, that still each and every day that as a Christ follower, we rely upon the grace of God to do anything that he's called us to do? That's the most wonderful thing, I think, about being a Christ follower. Sure, God calls us to do many things in Scripture, and one of those things, he says, be holy. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I cannot be holy on my own. It's the grace of God that works in my life that he is making me holy. He is making me separate. He's making me blameless in his sight. I become more and more mature in my walk with Christ because of God's grace in my life. You do the same thing. If you are a Christ follower here this morning, each and every day as you mature in your relationship with God, it's God's grace that comes in and he allows you to be what he has called you to be. Sure, we have to cooperate. I mean, just as we read last week in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says that we are to work out our salvation, but we also have to remember it's not just us working at it, because it's not a works-based faith. It's God that's working in us to work that salvation out through our lives so that others might see that the grace of God has had an effect on our lives. That's why God continues to pour out his grace on his Christ followers, is so that the world around us might see that God's grace truly has an effect on people's lives. God's grace, the riches of God's grace, his bank account of grace, it never gets empty, does it? And that's the wonderful thing. We can go back to God and ask for grace, and he offers it freely to us. We are acquired by the riches of God's grace. And then we have to look at the second aspect of this provision. I'm going backwards again. Actually, let me share with you one other passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. If you want to turn there, you can. Paul says this, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. Since it was out of ignorance that I had acted in unbelief, I received mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed. Notice that word, overflowed. The riches of God's grace overflowed in his life, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Paul knew the grace of God in his life. When God met him, when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, the grace of God overflowed in his life in such a way that his life was changed and forever changed. But God's grace continued to work in his life. I want to go back to that last phrase, and it's kind of an odd thing, I think, at times for Paul to say. When we think about his life, when we think about the impact he had on Christianity, he says that Christ came into this world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. Don't you find that interesting? I mean, if you were to think about the Apostle Paul, would you think of him as the worst of sinners? And I think many of us in here would agree that no, I wouldn't put him there with the worst of sinners. But I want to go to this next point and kind of link that together. When we're thinking about the grace of God, when we're experiencing the grace of God in our lives, I think it reminds us of the price of our acquisition. And that's the second point, the price. I think for Paul in his life, the more and more that he grasps the weight of the sin of his life, the more and more that he experienced the grace of God. I don't think it was so much that he was sinning all the time. I think the weight of his sin, I mean, it burdened him so that when he didn't do as God called him to do, when he sinned, it just burdened him. And he felt like he was the worst of sinners. And many of us in here could probably relate to that, because we begin to understand once again the price that it took. And that was the forgiveness of sins. This price, in Greek it's aphesis, release from bondage or imprisonment, forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. Remission of the penalty. I've already mentioned to you this morning, 1 Corinthians 6:19, we were bought with a price. We look at Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. Paul says, but now apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, that is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believed, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is the price that has to be paid. All right, let's go on. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presenting him as a propitiation or a payment through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. He presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. I want to go back to that verse 25 for just a moment. It says, because in his restraint, God passed over. Many of you this morning in Sunday school, you talked about the Passover, didn't you? And you reminded yourselves of that image of what the Israelites did in Egypt, right? The Passover lamb, and how the blood had to go around the doorpost, right? And when that happened, that angel, when it came, it passed over. And I want to tell you this morning that is how God looks at our lives. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed on the cross causes God to pass over, because they are forgiven. Forgiveness has been acquired. Our sins are removed. Scripture tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Look over in Romans, if you're there in your Bible, at Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims." See, what we've got to understand is that before Jesus Christ came in our lives, we were in bondage to sin. We had a price that needed to be paid. And as we saw earlier, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. It's death. We understand that through the Word of God, what we deserve is death because we are sinners. But thanks be to God that wasn't the end of verse 23 of chapter 6, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. The forgiveness of sins, that was the price. That was the debt that needed to be paid. When Christ was on the cross, he paid the debt of all mankind. And all we have to do is say, yes, we can't do it on our own. There's no way that I could ever pay the price for my sin. I rely on what Jesus did for me. And again, as we've talked about before, that's what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world today. Every other religion in the world, it's about what you must do in order to attain this or that. Christianity is about what already has been done on the cross in Jesus Christ. How freeing is that? That means I don't have to go throughout my life just wondering, okay, have I done enough? When I come before God, is he going to say, okay, Jonathan, I'm so proud to tell you that because you've done this and this and this, it's nullified everything else, and you can come and enjoy my presence and enjoy everything that I have prepared for you. No, he looks at my life in that moment and he says, because you have placed your faith in Jesus. You look at Hebrews chapter 11 and it says, by faith this person did that. By faith this person did that. By faith this person did that. And it was accounted to them as righteousness. It's all been, throughout the history of mankind, it's been about having faith in God and his way and doing it his way. And his way, as Christ said himself in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me because I paid the price. You don't have to do it any other way. That's the wonderful news. You don't have to do it any other way. It's Jesus. In him we have forgiveness of sins. We sing from time to time a wonderful hymn. And it's actually opposite the page, on the opposite page of the hymn that I read earlier in the service. It says this: marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds, what? Anybody remember? Our sin and our guilt. Oh my goodness. Let's go on. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, greater than all our sin. All right, let's go to verse 2. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Isn't that a wonderful truth this morning? Aren't you just thrilled? And I will say this morning that as a Christ followers, we should be thrilled that God's grace paid the price of our sin. And now we are acquired. We are His, aren't we? Because He paid the price. Now let's look at the payment, though. We've kind of already talked about this. Let's talk about it more. And I'm gonna botch this word. I'm not even going to pronounce this word because I'm having trouble. But y'all can see the Greek word. If you want to go on blueletterbible.org, it'll pronounce it for you, okay? Just put in Ephesians 1:7, and it's a wonderful tool. It says this, that this word means a releasing affected by payment of ransom. A payment of ransom, all right? Now I read one commentator a few years back that described this word ransom. It's a word that it indicated when a neighboring group of people or a tribe or a country would come in and there would be a battle. And during this battle, that neighboring country, tribe, or group of people, they win the battle, they would take people off into the other country, and they would demand a ransom. Okay? And what the people would have to do is they would have to find some way to collect the amount of money that was demanded to release that person and bring them back. And so they would come up with the amount, and they would send that ransom, that money, that price to that other country in order to acquire their loved ones, their friends back. Does that make sense? And I want to tell you this morning that because we are sinners, that because we are held captive by sin, there is a ransom, and there's a price that needed to be paid. And God did that through Jesus Christ. And that could be you this morning. Many of us in here, I believe, are probably Christ followers. But if you're not a Christ follower this morning, I hope that truth, I hope you hear that this morning, and I hope it's having an effect, and I hope that God's grace is being overflowed in your life in this moment so that you understand that you don't have to pay the price for your sins. That Christ has already done that. And you can accept that this morning because God's grace is infinite, and it's matchless, and it's greater than all of our sins. Romans 5:6-11. We're talking about this payment. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more being reconciled will we be saved by His life? And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Goes on in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. We'll get there in a moment. Says this, "And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive with Him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and taken away by nailing it to the cross." I want to stop right there. I've got a few other passages of Scripture that I want to just mention this morning. But this image this morning, I always have to stop here And I think I've talked about it on occasion. But we look at this passage of Scripture, and the image that is given to us is Christ on the cross. And it says that the certificate of debt was nailed to the cross. And we have to think about that when Christ was crucified, that there was a note that was nailed above his head. Remember that? And remember what was written on that note. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And when a person was crucified by the Romans, that was considered the certificate of debt. This was their crime. And they wrote that up there so everyone would know that what was happening below was the payment for what was written right here. Does that make sense? So what was above Jesus, though, what Paul says here, wasn't just his name, but in reality, it was the sin of all mankind, because that certificate of debt was nailed to the cross, and what was happening below was the payment for that up there. Does that make sense this morning? So that is why we are redeemed, because Christ died on the cross, and when he said, "It is finished," it is finished. He was saying that debt has been paid. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Redemption has been acquired. And you and I who are here in here this morning, and those of our brothers and sisters in Christ in times past who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and we believe this, we have had our sins canceled. They're taken away. Our ledger that listed all of our sins, that was wiped clean because Christ was on the cross and it was nailed there. That's a wonderful image. That's a freeing image this morning. That means that doesn't give us license to go and do whatever we want. It should drive us to serve God even more and to love him even more. I think this morning we as Christ followers, the more that we grasp that weight of our sin, the more we plunge into the depths of God's grace, and the more we understand just how much we've been redeemed and how much we want to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love. We sing that song, right? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I love to tell the story. This is my story. This is my song. Right? Isn't that what we sing? And the reason why we sing that is because of what we're looking at this morning. We have been acquired by God's grace. Our sins are forgiven, and Christ paid the price on the cross. The payment was his blood. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 through 6 says this. Excuse me. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 said this, "For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people eager to do good works." 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 through 20 says this, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with imperishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of times for you, who through him are believers in God, and who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Hebrews chapter 9, and this is the last one, verses 22 through 28. He says this, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves to be purified with better sacrifices than these. For the Messiah did not enter a sanctuary made with hands, only a model of the true one, but into heaven itself, that he might now appear in the presence of God for us. He did not do this to offer himself many times as the high priest enters the sanctuary yearly with the blood of another. Otherwise, he would have had to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now he has appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for people to die once and after this judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's you and I, correct? You and I who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and we believe that on the cross that Christ paid that penalty. He gave the payment for our sins through his grace, through his love for us. We are waiting for his appearing because we desire greatly for our Savior and our Lord who redeemed us. There's a newer hymn that I think expresses what we're examining this morning. It says, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Do you believe that this morning? That his wounds have paid your ransom? Do you grasp the weight of your sin this morning? Even as Christ followers, I think we need to be reminded of that so that we become more and more in awe of what Christ did for us on the cross. And when we do that, it just overflow. We overflow with gratitude, and not only in our words, but in the things that we do and the things that we want to do for our Savior and Lord who paid the ultimate price to redeem us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Do you grasp the weight of your sin this morning? Have you allowed God's grace to come into your life and release you from the bondage of sin? That's what he wants to do this morning, is to release you from the bondage of sin. And maybe somebody here this morning, you have never come to that point in your life where you've said yes to God. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Won't you say yes to him? God's grace is available for you. He wants you to experience it this morning. He wants you to accept the price that he has already paid for your sin. Won't you do that this morning? Father, as we have examined your grace, and we have examined what it took for you to pay the price for our sins through the death of your Son, Jesus, on the cross, I pray that we as Christ followers would become more in awe of that. And our lives would reflect that awe. But Father, I think there might be somebody here this morning that's never experienced that grace, and I just pray that this morning would be that morning that they say, yes, I want that in my life. I know that I need Jesus. God, would you, by your grace, would you help them settle that in their hearts this morning? And we'll give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.